Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia, and with me, as always, is the ever-radiant Jennifer Wollman. Jennifer, say hello.
Ay, ay, ay. Hello, everybody. It was good. I just realized that I was holding my breath. Like, I'm waiting to see what word you're going to pop on my intro.
I love it.
He sold a little. There you go.
And I was holding my breath. So I was like, okay, let's see what his brain like spurts out.
Exactly. Well, we have a very special guest with us. You just heard his voice, and I'm gonna leave it to Jennifer to make the introduction. Jennifer?
Yes, today in continuing with our focus on small businesses for March, which is Small Business Awareness Month, we have the pleasure of speaking with Carlos M. Gonzalez. He's the president of Atlantic Building Inspections, a residential and commercial inspection company with offices in Miami-Dade, Broward, St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Collier Lee, Charlotte, Sarasota, and Manatee counties. In addition to covering issues he finds in commercial inspections and some tips that he's going to share with us on what to look for and things maybe we haven't considered in commercial inspections, we're also going to discuss how he, as a business owner, built and scaled his business. So, Carlos, welcome so much to Between Two Chairs, and thank you for giving us your time and expertise.
Thank you, guys. It's my pleasure, and I'm very happy to be here.
So before we get started with diving into the topics today, give us a little bit of background on you, where you grew up, what made you get into this business, that kind of stuff, what your passions are.
Well, I can say with all the love in my heart that Fernando knows exactly where I grew up, because we grew up very, very close to each other. We went to the same schools. We hung out with the same people. Born and raised in Miami. Of course, immigrant parents. Mom and dad came from Cuba. And they were of that generation that just came here to work. And I learned my work ethic from my mom and my dad. And I thank them for that. Been here pretty much all my life. Started doing inspections back in late 98. And then really got going into it full time mid-99. And this has been my love and my passion for all of these years. And to be honest with you, I still feel the same that I felt when I started in this business, which I think is something good, because a lot of people, I think once they do things, you know, for so long, they kind of burn out. But I feel like I'm just as passionate and excited about this business as I was back then. I'm married, three children, a dog, the whole thing. So, and Fernando and I share a lot of cheerleading history as well. Not that we were cheerleaders, but we could be. I mean, that's not a problem, but our daughters were in cheer for many years. And so, we, as a bonus, we would run into each other at the cheer competitions all year long as well.
So Carlos and I went to Miami High together, and we shared a class with a, I don't know if I would say famous or infamous teacher, but we always bonded over that. Years passed by after high school, you know, you kind of lose track of people. When I bought my first house and I needed to do a four-point inspection, the insurance provider recommended Atlantic Building Inspections. And lo and behold, Carlos shows up to my house. And that's how we reconnected. It was been crazy. And I've been referring him ever since. And man, we got stories for days. Absolutely. So we try to do a little bit of demystifying commercial real estate in this podcast. And so, you know, we like to get down to the basics. And so I know that you guys are a full service firm. You do both residential and commercial inspections. I've always been very impressed with how thorough you are in your approach. And so if you want to, you know, just kind of let our audience know or give them a little sense of what is different between doing a commercial inspection versus a home inspection or a condo inspection.
Absolutely. Well, one of the first things that's very different is in the residential sector, as you guys probably know very well, everything needs to be disclosed. So anything the seller knows, they should be disclosing to the potential buyer. In a commercial situation, that is not the requirement. In fact, you do not have to disclose anything. It's buyer beware. It's due diligence on the buyer. So when you're an inspection firm and you're approaching this, you have to understand that when we're coming in to do a commercial inspection, we're going to assume that no one knows anything about the property. In a residential, we may show up, the seller may be present, we can ask them some questions, they can share information, they have to fill out a seller's disclosure and disclose anything they know. In a commercial situation, that is not the case. Secondly, in a commercial situation, you have a longer due diligence period than you do in a residential situation. So we're able to come in with a little bit more time. We're not under that pressure to get the inspection done as fast as possible, which is nice as well. In a commercial, we're also thinking a bit about things that you would never think about in a residential. For example, we're thinking about soil contamination. We're thinking about a phase one, a phase two, environmental testing. We're thinking about use of the property and what hazards could be, you know, present based on what the tenant or future tenant or future occupant is going to be doing with the property. Is the new buyer going to sublease or lease it out to somebody? Is the lessee going to be responsible for the roof or repairs? What information do they need from us that in a residential situation, that's never, ever in question and it's never part of it. So there's definitely differences on how we look at the property. We also look at the property with the eyes of this is a commercial property where the general public may be coming in and out. In a private property, that's very different. So when we're doing our site inspection, we're doing the outside grounds, for example, we're looking for trip hazards, we're looking for any hazard really that somebody can get themselves involved with. So those are the general, you know, differences on commercial versus residential. Then we can get really deep into technicalities like what type of roofing is installed in commercial that's not installed in residential. I don't think that the audience really would benefit from that kind of deep dive into any of this stuff, but I think this is a good general, you know, overview of what the differences are and what we're looking for when we're doing these inspections.
Great. So what are some of the things that if I'm a broker, I would want to prepare or make sure that my commercial inspection covers that I might not necessarily think about? I mean, obviously access to the roof and to the electrical and all that, but is there anything that, you know, a commercial broker or somebody showing the property for an inspection should be considering that might kind of pass us by?
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned access, which is really important. In commercial, you know, getting access to the roof sometimes could be very tricky. Sometimes there are ladders that are attached to the outside of the building. Sometimes it's an internal access point that we're going to need access to. So access, obviously, to all of the areas, you know, where the electrical panels are. A lot of times in commercial, you have the air conditioning system on the roof. So it's important, obviously, that we can get to them and get up on the roof as well. But as a broker looking at a commercial property, you know, you're thinking things like, well, is there an elevator? And for example, if there is an elevator, that's a very specific inspection. We bring an elevator company with us to look at the hydraulics, to look at the equipment, to look at the systems. Are there walk-in freezers? Are there pumps of any kind, water pumps? There's just a lot of things with commercial, depending on the type of property that it is. And of course, when you say commercial, you know, you're going from anywhere from a gas station, strip mall, restaurant. If it's a restaurant, do you need a grease trap cleaning? We do those as well. We can come in, clean out the grease traps. Is there a septic system? Do we need to bring in? We also do that. So we can bring in our septic tank truck and clean everything out and do a good inspection of the septic system. So there's drain storms systems that are involved in commercial. There's fire systems or sprinkler systems. In a commercial situation, depending on the type of property, there is a lot of different systems and components that, you know, as broker should be communicating with the inspector about. Obviously, if you're working with a good inspection company, the inspection company is going to guide the broker and say, hey, you know, these are the systems that we're looking for. These are the things we're looking at. And this is why you want to look at them and so on and so forth. But yeah, I hope I answered the question.
You did. Thank you so much. And so if I'm a broker and I call you and I know there's a grease trap and a fire system, do I need to call the separate inspectors or just let you know? And then you have a team that deals with all of those other more detailed inspections, such as an elevator.
Yeah, we definitely have a team for everything, as Fernando will attest to. For the amount of years that we've been doing this, we've gotten ourselves to the point where we kind of, you know, have been through pretty much everything that you can go through. So we've set ourselves up in a way where if there is a grease trap that needs to be cleaned out, we can get it cleaned out. If there's a septic system that needs to be pumped out, we can pump it out. Obviously, in commercial, it's a little different. But in residential, if you have a seawall, we bring out our seawall experts. And so we definitely have a team surrounding us that support all of the different special inspections that are needed, especially for commercial.
Carlos, you know, we always encourage our agents and really any broker out there that for them to be present during inspections, you know, not only in the commercial world and the residential side as well. And part of it is because, you know, when you get a report, sometimes the report, the way that it is written, right, may create more of an alarm or, you know, you may not get the full context rather than being at the inspection where you could hear directly from the inspector and get a better sense of what they saw, where their concerns are. I know that you are very intentional in everything you do with your company and the way that you interact with everyone that you interact with in your business. Obviously, you have a duty to the owners, the potential owners that are going to inspect the property. You know, they got to know everything that's going on. But I know you also take seriously the relationship with the broker and how to communicate better. Speak a little bit about that approach and that dynamic, because I think it really differentiates one inspection company from another.
Fernando, I think that's an incredible question. And one area where a lot of real estate brokers and inspection owners and companies do not communicate well on. So I'm extremely happy that you asked that question. Number one, it used to be many, many years ago where inspectors were looked at as the contract assassins, you know, the deal killers, you know, and the relationship between broker, real estate agent and inspection company or inspector has always been difficult. That's been one of my missions for the last 15 years is to bridge that divide and understand that we're both working, both sides of this, the inspection and the broker, we're both working together for the best for the client. With that being said, we are very sensitive to that. And we understand, we know very clearly how hard the real estate agent or the broker has worked to get to the point of inspection, only for the inspector to say, pardon my French, something stupid, and just kind of ruin the deal and make everything fall apart. I always say that, you know, providing information to the client verbally, like you said at the beginning here, is extremely important. I am a huge proponent of the client always being present. As we know, inspection is one of those periods where buyers can just simply back out of the deal and not even give a reason. So it's a time, 7 days, 10 days, 15, 20 days in commercial, sometimes a month, 2 months, where a buyer can just simply say, I don't want to buy this property anymore. So what you don't want to do is give ammunition to the buyer to use the inspection or the inspector as a way out of the deal, because then you're not really addressing what the concern is of the buyer. I'll give you an example. We go out and we do an inspection. The broker or the agent isn't present. I am speaking to the client, or one of my inspectors is speaking to the client and explaining everything, and everything's great. The potential buyer now goes home and so happens to run into his neighbor. And his neighbor says, oh, you're buying a property in that neighborhood. That neighborhood is no good, blah, blah, blah. Gives him this whole other thing to worry about. What that client is going to simply do is, if they're backing out, they're going to say, the inspector scared me. The inspector said this. The inspector did that. And if you weren't present as the real estate agent or the broker on the deal, then you don't really know. I mean, I get phone calls like that where, hey, Carlos, your inspector scared my customer. So the first question I ask, Fernando, is, were you present at the inspection? And the answer inevitably is always, oh, no, I wasn't there. Of course you weren't there, because if you were there, you would be saying, well, wait a minute, I don't remember the inspector saying anything that scary. Like, what are you talking about? And now you have the ability and the chance to actually address the client's real concerns, which is the neighborhood, had nothing to do with the inspection. So the brokers out there really have to understand that inspection, you know, inspectors and inspection companies are used as a scapegoat a lot of times to get out of the deal, but it's not really why the buyer's making the decision. So it's extremely important that we're all there, that we're all having one conversation, that we're all communicating together, that we're all working for the betterment of the customer, and we gravitate towards that, right? Like, over the years, we actually have a list of real estate agents that we won't book an inspection for. And I know that that sounds weird because we're in the business of booking inspections, right? But first thing is first, right? If you're unethical and you're not willing to do the right thing for your customer, we don't want to work with you. And I think that real estate agents also and brokers should be looking for inspectors and inspection companies that are ethical and that are not trying to exaggerate or scare people, but are being honest. And just to add something a little bit extra to that is the willingness to help towards the next step, right? So I may, you know, one of my inspectors may give some bad news, right? Unfortunately, the roof may be leaking, there may be an issue, but hey, we can help you. We can guide you. You know, what can we do to put you in connection with a few roofers? Maybe we can work, you know, with you. Like, our goal is to continue for the deal to continue to move forward. We're not interested in killing the deal. We're just interested in being honest and doing the right job for the customer. That's pretty much it.
Well, I think you led with a great sentence where it was just basically you're there to provide information. Right. So you're not there to kill the deal or make the deal happen. You're basically just providing information and uncovering things, to your point, that are not necessarily visible or that neither the buyer nor seller may know about. I mean, obviously, if I walk in and I see a hole in the roof, I know there's an issue, but you might not know if there's a ton of insulation and stuff in between, that there's a small leak or that the AC duct isn't put in right or whatever. So I think, to your point, if everybody is looking at the inspector as somebody who's just providing information on the state of the building and strips it down to that, we'll be in a much better position in terms of understanding what it is that you're providing.
I think that where inspectors sometimes go wrong is, one, they provide information that's outside of their wheelhouse. And I think there's a great benefit for everyone in the transaction to stay in their lane. Even though that sounds maybe like it's a little harsh, it's actually to the benefit of everyone, including the client. Because, for example, if I show up to an inspection, for Fernando, and his buyer says to me, hey, Carlos, what do you think about this neighborhood? And I give my opinion on that, I am stepping out of my lane, and I shouldn't do that. Even if I live two blocks away, my answer is, oh, I'm not here to judge this neighborhood. I'm here to provide information on the property and the condition of the property. Speak to Fernando. He might be able to better guide you. In other words, let's make sure that we're all communicating within our wheelhouse. And I think a lot of inspectors don't really understand that. And they give information where it's just outside of what they're supposed to be talking about, to be honest with you. Yeah.
I know you want to get into the business side, but before you get into the business side, just because I always think sometimes these stories help, help us foresee things. You said truthfully that commercial real estate, it's the buyer beware. So what are some horror stories or surprises that were completely unexpected that you found in commercial inspections?
And before you get into that, just because we were connecting to this last part, I do want to say that. So Carlos inspected a property that I was the listing agent. A buyer came in unrepresented. They wanted a recommendation for a company. I recommended Carlos, and he did a very thorough inspection of the building, and there was spalling in the exterior of the building. That's when the rebar, a chemical reaction between the rebar and the concrete, And those are things that need to be resolved. Now, when you see it and you hear an inspector like Carlos, who was at that inspection, and he's talking about the normal settlement of the building, when he's talking about that, you know, these are not uncommon to have these things. But more importantly, you caught it early enough for you want to address it now, and then you got building for years, right? But it is something that needs to be addressed. But the manner in which he explained it, the manner in which he approached it, and also showing, look, here are other examples. He looked around the building. Look, that you see that example there, that has been fixed. You see that entire line, that's exactly what they did because they found spalling and they fixed it. And so that dynamic is also important. And one more thing, because, you know, we have a lot of commercial agents that are new to the business, that are maybe a lot of the investors that you're representing or a lot of the owner occupied, they already know that they're going to have to fix the roof. They already know that they're going to have to make these improvements. When they went to see the property, visually, they already knew these are things that I'm going to have to invest. Now, what they're looking from Carlos and his company is to tell them, when do I have to address this? How dire is the issue? Can I address it in 5 years? Can I address it now? What can I do to elongate the lifespan of all these different systems? So, sorry, I just wanted to make that point. But yeah, tell us about the horror stories.
This is our, you know, if it bleeds, it leads thesis.
Not to age us, Fernando, but how many years ago was that? Because I remember that inspection.
Man, that was that, right? Yeah, it has to be about 15 years ago. Yeah, maybe a little longer.
At minimum, yeah. Maybe longer than that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you bring up horror stories and then you bring up spalling and then the greatest horror story of our last 10 years, which is the Champlain Towers collapsing in 2021. And interestingly enough, that the main culprit of that collapse is the concrete spalling, which is a structural disease where the rebar pushes away the concrete because of a carbonation issue, and the concrete falls and the tie beams and the columns that hold up the building will eventually fail, as shown with the collapse of the tower. So horror stories, spalling is one of those major items that I can tie into many, many stories that are obviously horrific. I remember, you know, a particular customer who was buying a building in Miami Beach, an older building, and wasn't going to do the inspection. The broker finally convinced him to do the inspection, and we went out there and we did the inspection, and we had a team and we crawled under this building because it was a pretty big building. And when we came out of there, we found such a significant problem with spalling that we brought in a structural engineer. And when the structural engineer came out and he did his report and we got everything priced, it was a $300,000 problem. So, you know, that is not a little tiny problem, right? As far as horror stories go with commercial, it doesn't get much worse than that. In the state that you could, you know, the building could collapse, so you could have structural failure. And so these are things that people, and as you alluded to, Fernando, a lot of commercial buyers they're pretty intelligent, right? They're pretty, they know certain things already, like you said. Our job is to provide them with what they don't know and what they don't see and what could be lurking behind there. And then also, you're right, giving them that time frame is very important because is it something that is a now thing, or can I wait a year? Can I wait 5 years? Is this a slow moving thing? So on and so forth. Super important as well. But yeah, as far as brokers and horror stories, and obviously if your client asks you, should I have an inspection? You should always say yes, because you want them to go through the process and learn as much about the property as they can, so that if they move forward and purchase the property, obviously, they never come back and say, well, hey, you know what, guys, I asked you if I should do inspection. You said it wasn't necessary. And now I got a, you know, $100,000 problem that I got to deal with.
And I think mindset wise, you know, everybody has the right to know what they're purchasing. And that should be the mindset, right? Which is, hey, find out as much as possible, because once you buy it, it's yours. And it's going to be your responsibility. And if we're here to take care of people for the long haul, we want them to walk in eyes wide open. You know, but the reality is, the reason why you hire a licensed inspector is because you sometimes don't know what to look for. They do. right? And so, you know, and listen, at the end of the day, you want to have that information that, hey, I bought this building, I found this issue, and I addressed it, and now moving forward, I'm going to be a good steward of that property. And, you know, so that's important. Now, one thing that I've always been impressed by is how quickly you turn around those inspection reports. I know that you are a person that has always been a great adopter of technology, and that you have been able to do that by building systems. So I want you to tell us a little bit about, as you were building your company, the importance of systems, the importance of the integration of technology and those systems. And, you know, give us a little bit of your philosophy on how to build systems, since it's, you know, Small Business Month, and you're going to hear, a lot of business owners are going to be hearing this.
Excellent. Thank you for asking me that, Fernando. That's a very good question. Just so we know where I started from, my very first inspection was done on carbon copy paper with Polaroid pictures attached to it. And I know that you're going to, you know, you're going to smile. And unless you are of a certain age, you have no idea what the heck I just said. But for us on the call, we know what a Polaroid picture is, right? So I got very addicted to
Carlos, if anybody hearing wants to know if carbon paper is dirty, yes, it is. It will dirty you.
Yes, it is. Yes, yes. So I basically would write the report, and then I had to press really hard and then break the report apart and hand everybody their copy with the Polaroid picture stapled to the top of it. But I became very obsessed with and focused on, wow, there's got to be a better way. And that constant, and I still have it today, Fernando, I really do, that constant, how can we do this better? How can we speed this up? How can we provide more value? How can we add, you know, pictures and videos? And how, you know, I was in that great time. I think it was a great time of innovation, right? And of technological advance, where we went from that Polaroid carbon copy. We went in, when I started thinking about using computers for inspection reports, there were no software companies developed any of these reports. So I actually took a class on Microsoft Visual Basic, and I learned how to code within Microsoft, and I created my own software for home inspection report writing within Microsoft Word. That was back in, I believe, 2000. We used that as a company. We used that report writing platform for probably a good five, six years. And then we started to see that developers started to develop different type of softwares. There was a point there, and I think you might remember this, Fernando, where we actually would take a portable printer with us, and we would actually print the report in the truck and hand it to everybody right there on site as well. Those reports had pictures in them already, digital cameras and all that stuff. All the technology helped to a greater extent what you mentioned earlier, systems. And that's really where I think small businesses can really thrive, right? Building the systems that work very, very, very well and are scalable. One of the things that I think small business owners, including me, especially at the beginning, we just don't think big enough, Fernando, right? We have this idea, we have this vision, but it's just not a vision that is big enough to start with. So I always encourage huge, huge visions, because that will then allow you to, even when you're starting out and putting those systems in place, you're constantly thinking about, can I scale this system? Is this a system that will work if I get 20 phone calls or 200 phone calls? Will it work if I have 20 inspections this month or if I have 1,000 inspections this month? Is this a system that will actually continue to grow along with me, right? And so one of the mistakes that I think I made early on was creating systems that were not scalable and then having to redo them and reinvent them and so on and so forth. So I think that, you know, especially with the technology that exists today, always start out with the end in mind. You need to sit down and say, where do I see this business in 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25, 30 years from now? What would be my exit plan? What would be my perfect day? How do I create a system today that can get me to where I want to go? Not every business owner wants to go to the same place, right? Some businesses are built simply to sell. Some are built because there's a love for it, and the person building it wants to grow with it and be a part of it for years to come. So it really depends on how you're looking at your business. But absolutely, the relentless system tweaking is the other part. Oh, you built a system. Great. And it works great. All right, I'm done. The truth is, you're never done. There's always something that the system can do a little better. There's tweaking involved. There's a passion that you have to have for what you're doing to revisit it so often and make it better and better every single day.
As a side note, so Jennifer, I had a conversation with Carlos about his training and how he trains the inspectors that are coming in. And, you know, he's always been a big believer in you got to inspect what you expect, right? And so he told me this story that in the videos, when they're doing the training, the initial training videos, he would put in, like, all of a sudden, like a banana, a mango, kiwi, whatever it is. And so then people would say, oh, I already watched the video. And he says, okay, name me the five, you know, the five fruits that you found in the video. And if they couldn't name it, then he knows they didn't watch the video. So, and he says, go back and watch the video. I thought that was genius.
Yeah, it's part of those things where you know what happened. You know how that comes about, right? You create the video, you put it out there, and then you realize your inspectors are still making the same mistakes. And you're going, wait a minute, but that I put that in the video. And so then you're like, okay, did you see the video? Yeah, I saw the video. And you're like, I don't think you didn't see the video or you are not learning, and that's really bad. So we're definitely going to have to move on from you. And so then I said, okay, well, let's see if they actually did see the video, you know, and how can we do that? How can we prove that they saw the video? And it's a lot of that, right? And in a greater scale, it's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of paying attention. It's a lot of tracking. Like, has this inspector made this mistake more than once or twice? Like, is there a pattern here that's no good? Like, and I've always said, you know, I'd rather take an inspector who's never inspected anything and give them the good habits. It's harder to remove the bad habits and create new ones than it is to create new ones from the beginning. So I've always hired people who are amazing people. And typically, most of them have no idea what an inspection even is, but I can teach that part, right? That part I can teach. You can't teach somebody to just be an amazing person, but you can teach them the skills that they need, right? If you've got the right person.
So you mentioned a lot of video, and lately I've been watching these amazing videos that you're creating, you know, giving a lot of information, teaching, right? Giving a lot of value. I would love to get a little bit of your perspective on how your marketing has evolved. And, you know, it looks to me like you're entering this new stage of, you know, Carlos the Superstar.
Well, listen, Fernando, I got to be honest with you, man. I'm not a social media lover. You know what I mean? Like, there's people who absolutely love the whole social media thing. I'm not one of those people. And I guess it's okay. But, you know, first of all, I have three children and they are constantly telling me, Dad, you got to get on social media. Dad, you got to do this. Dad, you got to do that. So I got to give them credit for pushing me in that direction. But look, here's the truth, right? When I started in this business, as you know, because you're going to resonate with this, I would walk into a real estate office at any given moment, at any given day, and there was 40, 50, 60 people working. And if I can get through that gatekeeper, we all know that there's a gatekeeper at the front. If I can get through that gatekeeper, I'm going to have great conversations. I'm going to start great relationships. And I'm going to be able to build on that, right? Today, let's fast forward to today. When I finish this podcast with you, I can get in my car and drive to any real estate office, walk in, and I'm lucky if there's two people.
And one's the gatekeeper.
And guys, I'm telling you, that's the reality, because we've expanded into the West Coast, and I've been spending a lot of time up there with Lewis, our managing partner. And it's incredible. Like, we walk in and unless you're going for a pre-scheduled meeting or sales meeting or presentation or something like that, there's no longer that connection that I can just walk in and talk to real estate agents and talk to people. So that is completely gone. Radio and television, I don't know anybody who listens to a radio station. It's all streaming. I don't know anybody who watches regular TV. It's all Netflix and Hulu and streaming. So whether we want to accept it or not has completely changed. And so, yes, Fernando, definitely we hired a social media marketing manager because, again, it's not my passion. It's not my love to be walking around with the selfie stick and talking and things like that. And it's interesting that you bring that up because this week I've had a couple of sales meetings in different brokerages. And as I walk through the door, I've got agents coming to me saying, please keep doing these videos. They are so informative. They're so good. I'm really enjoying them. So I'm starting to get that feeling of, man, you know, I think people are really enjoying this and wanting it. So I'm getting more and more motivated to keep doing it, Fernando.
I really think you should. And then there are little nuances that you're sharing that I think are valuable. One of my favorites is with the water heater and understanding that you have the casing outside and then you actually have the you know, what's holding the water. But then when there was a trail of rusty brown water, but it really wasn't coming out of a defective system. It was coming out of the little screw that had oxidized. And so that's what the issue was created. So it looked like a bad problem. But again, it's the little nuances that you learn in what you do and that you're sharing it. And I think that as long as you keep the mindset that you're teaching and you're educating and you're making people better, really, by giving that information, then, you know. But man, the videos are great. I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. I can't take the credit for it. If I do, I'm going to get in trouble. So.
Just real quick, I know you started in Miami. What made you, to me, north is a more obvious expansion. What made you expand north and then west and pretty far north and west, right?
Okay, so I'll start with the north, right? We started in Dade and then we seeped into Broward and we had a decent, hold on Dade and Broward. And then I met a gentleman named Mike Pappas, which I know you guys know exactly who that is. And we hit it off and he and his family are amazing. We do a lot of support and work for his agents. And what happened was one day he put his arm around me and he says, hey, I need you to start moving up north and help us with support the agents up north. And so, you know, little by little, We started going up in that area, providing the support, providing. I told him I wasn't going to do it until I was ready. So we hired and trained and got very ready to make sure we were able to handle it. And little by little, we creeped into Palm Beach. And then he did the same thing and we moved into Martin. And now we're servicing St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Dade. Now, the West Coast was a little bit different. We got the same arm around the shoulder from his daughter, Christina, who said, hey, my goal is to move over to the West Coast. And I said, well, I'd love to support you over there as well. But really where it came from is one of our lead guys, I've always had, and Fernando will tell you this too, I've always had the mentality of abundance and not, you know, scarcity. And I think that that's a very important mindset to have. And I've always wanted to create a large umbrella where people can realize their dreams within our umbrella. That way we can do things together. So one of our guys, Lewis, who's been with us for a number of years, came to me and said, hey, Carlos, I'm getting married next year. I'm young. I want bigger. I want to do what you've done. I want to have a team of 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20 inspectors under me. I want more out of my life, you know, and I saw that spark in him and that desire and that grit. And I said, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. Are you willing to move to the West Coast? He says, yeah, my wife, we're going to get married next year. We'd love to move over there. My parents are okay moving over there with us. So we sat down and we said, okay, well, I'm going to help you realize your dreams over there. And so we have partnered with him. He's our managing partner there. And we're exploding in that area and growing it and pushing. And really, it's to fulfill his dream. And is, you know, he's a wonderful, wonderful person. And I want to see him happy. I want to see him succeed. I want to see him grow. And so that's really where the West Coast came to be. And of course, with Christina saying, hey, we're going that way too. It's been great, you know, again, providing help and support And, you know, I believe I'm a big believer in the old Zig Ziglar. You can get everything you want in life as long as you're willing to help other people get what they want. And it's not a tactic. It's a way of living your life. It's a philosophy. And if you set out to help people, everything else falls in place. At least that's been my experience. If I can give a business owner any advice, it would be focus on the value and help and what you can do for somebody else, and everything else will just fall into place for you. I guarantee it.
Thank you so, so much for sharing that story. I love it. I feel like, yeah, totally. I like keeping these little nuggets for later. I am so grateful because I got to meet you and learn a little bit more about you. And you're very impressive. I love your philosophy about being, you know, providing value, not just to your customers, but to the people who work with you as well. So thank you for all you do. And I wish you a wonderful, scalable 2025.
Thank you. I'll take that wish, and I wish it for you guys as well. All of us.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on another episode of Between Two Chairs. Appreciate you pulling up a chair. And we will be right back with another episode. Thank you for your continued patronage. Bye. Jennifer, say bye.
Bye.